Just so you know, there's a lot more in detail and information that could be shared, but because of time, I sort of have to compact it and sort of focus on certain things. But feel free to ask questions. You know, a lot of times we just take the information and go home, but feel free to ask. There's a lot more information that we can take from this, and I know a lot of it, most of you have heard this and studied it yourself, but I hope that this may be a blessing to you as well. So this morning's sermon is titled Prospering Soul, Sealing Heart. And in reality, it's pretty much, there's a connection between our spiritual growth as well as our health. And I hope that we're able to see that through this morning's message. And so one thing that I was preparing for this message is realizing there are things going on in our not just in our lives, but in our world that should put into mind that God wants and has a plan for us in terms of our health. He doesn't just care for us to just make it to heaven, but he wants us to enjoy our lives to our fullest by being in our optimum health if possible. And so there are certain things, and I'm sure most of you have heard what's been going on in China with the, in, what's it called? Wuhan, the city of Wuhan, China. Works if I turn it on. There we go. Try to make this as large as I could, but I will read the headlines. Here about the coronavirus, it says that the city of Wuhan, it's in lockdown. China takes extreme measures to stop virus spread. I think it's the seventh largest city in China. It's millions of people there in a complete lockdown. They cut off any kind of transportation in or out of the city. But still, even as they, right before they were able to lock it down, many people left, which many of them did have the virus with them, ended up spreading to other places around China. But one of the things they were to figure out, scientists now think that they know what started this deadly coronavirus, and they believe it was bats. All right, so I have some pictures of bats and a snake. And in the article, it goes on to say that the first people who contracted the deadly new coronavirus sweeping through Asia were infected when the virus jumped from animals to humans. And a new report points to the original animal source as bats. Scientists from the Wuhan Institute for Virology, located in China's epic center of the outbreak, now under quarantine, published a paper Thursday that confirmed the fast-spreading virus is in the same family as a severe acute respiratory syndrome known as SARS virus that hit Asia in 2003 and killed almost 800 people, and the Middle East respiratory syndrome called MERS. So they see there's a similarities with these viruses in connection with the coronavirus. It goes on to say, based on oral swabs, anal swabs, and blood collected from several patients at this particular hospital in Wuhan, the scientists were able to genetically sequence the virus. Then they tested it against a database of known viruses and found a 96.2% match with a coronavirus known to live in bats, which is also believed to be the source of the SARS and MERS outbreaks. Ebola, the deadly virus that killed more than 11,000 people in West Africa between 2013 and 2016, is also believed to have originated from bats. The outbreak is believed to have originated at a meat and seafood market in Wuhan, where live animals were slaughtered and wild animals were also sold. Another report from China earlier this week claimed that the coronavirus may have originated in snakes, which were reportedly sold in the Wuhan market. However, that report also suggested that since snakes hunt bats in the wild, they could have been the original source of the virus. So the source of these viruses, including MERS, SARS, and Ebola, as well as the coronavirus, seem to come from bats. But what I want us to focus is not so much this idea of bats, because I know most of us, or none of us, eat bats, and it's not known in our culture here in America, but it's that principle, which we'll get to it. This idea of viruses and plagues, it's something God has prophesied. In Matthew 24:7, It says, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. It's something that God had warned us it was going to happen. So it shouldn't surprise us so much that this will be occurring. And what's the difference between now and maybe 100 years ago or before is the fact that it's happening much more frequently in diverse places than ever before. Because of the connection now that we have globally, that you can easily transport to different nations, it can easily spread around. Now they've blocked any kind of transportation even to China from many countries around the world to contain the virus from spreading even further. But God had warned us, had taught us things for us to eat to avoid, yes, to avoid viruses, but even other health complications. So the principle is not so much that, oh, don't eat bats, but God had these principles that he laid about clean and unclean animals. In Leviticus chapter 11, verse 3, it tells us, it says, whatsoever parketh the hood and is cloven footed and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat. So as a split hoof and chew the cud, those we can eat. Examples of those are lambs, antelope, cattle, goat, and deer. What excludes those are rabbits, pigs, and camels. In Leviticus chapter 11, verse 9 to 10, talking about the sea creatures that God says we can eat, it tells us, these shall ye eat of all that are in the waters, whatsoever have fins and scales in the waters, in the seas and in the rivers, them shall ye eat. And all that have not fins and scales in the sea and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters and of any living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you. So some of the examples of things we can eat that are clean are like bass, salmon, tuna fish, and trout. And there's others as well. Some to exclude are clams, lobster, shrimps, oysters, and catfish, among other things. So if it doesn't have fins and scale, you cannot eat them. If it has fins, but it doesn't have scales, we can't eat them. If it has scales, but it doesn't have fins, we can't eat them. It has to have both, the same as with the land animals. In verse 19 of Leviticus 11, talking about the birds, it gives us more specific of what type of animals we are to eat. It says the stork, the heron, after her kind, and the lapwing, and the bat. All the fowls that creep upon all four shall be an abomination unto you. But some examples that we can eat of, there's a lot more, it's kind of skipped over, that we can eat in terms of birds, animals, are like turkeys, chicken, pheasants, and quail, but we are to avoid bats. Snakes is another we are to avoid. In Leviticus 11, verse 20 to 23, talking about the creeping things or insects and whatnot. Insects that we can eat are like locusts, crickets, and grasshoppers, and pretty much everything else we're not supposed to eat. So these are great sources for your protein and many other nutrients that they may come with them that God allows us to eat. There's a difference between allowing and this is what you're supposed to be eating. For most of human history, it wasn't a diet that they ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And it was like we have in such easeability like we have here. Any fast food restaurant, you can go and get them. There was a long process for you to hunt them down, go through the process to be able to eat them. A lot of times when it was larger animals, it was usually dealt with a particular feast. Someone came home and a family hadn't seen in a while, let's kill a goat and let's celebrate. We have our family here we haven't seen in a while, or on particular feasts or celebrations, they may have certain meats. The way they prepared it back then or grew the animals, very different than what we see nowadays. That even if you do spend that extra money to get them to be top quality, nowadays still not the same as it was before. God had these things told to Moses after they had been delivered from Egypt. Not only is what God wanted them to do as his people, but it was also to avoid some of the fate that the Egyptians had received. But in our time, God wants us to take it a step further. But let's see some of the diseases that were prominent in the Egyptians that God wants us to avoid. And I only focus primarily on one particular because it's one of the main causes of death in our time. So here's some of the evidence here in ABC Science, talking about when they were researching about the mummies. They said heart disease, a 4,000-year-old serial killer. They realized through the advancements in technology, they can study the arteries and even the different parts of the mummies because they really well preserved them, even in organs. They will separate them into different canisters, each canister for a different organ, and they were able to study them and realize one of the main causes that they had were heart disease. It says here from The Guardian, it says, mummies know best. The pharaohs given up their secrets about heart disease. And BBC News Channel, ancient Egyptian priests killed by rich ritual food. It's the priest from pagans, they're very similar to the priests from God's people, where you know they were the people will bring the sacrifices to the priest and they would use them for the worship service, but they would also keep some of the meat and take it home and eat them. But because of the rich food that they were given, including with high saturated fat and others, they ended up eating a lot of those meat, which ended up causing them to have all sorts of diseases, including heart disease. It says even mummies had clogged arteries from Time magazine. It says the latest analysis of ancient vessels shows that plagues had long been a global and common problem. So that was them then. How is it for us now? One of the leading causes of death, based on the CDC, is what? Heart disease, followed by cancer. And of course, there's others. But these are far high and advanced. They're in the 500s, thousands of disease of death a year, while the others are still a little bit lower. Still bad, but not as prominent. And here's just another source. Sometimes it's good to have multiple sources. From USS News, the top 10 causes of death in America, number one, heart disease, followed by cancer. So what is the main diseases that we're dealing with is heart disease, as well as cancer. But where is the source for most of these diseases coming from? It's come from meat, specifically from animal meat. Not only is the way animals are grown and fed have a negative impact on our health and environment, but even eating top quality meat, if it's kosher, pasture raised, grass-fed, organic, etc., can still have these diseases and other health problems because they didn't have these genetically modified like we have now, the food that was fed to these animals. They didn't have them as mass production as we have them today, but they still cause the same diseases as we're dealing with today. So even eating top quality meat can still cause these diseases. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, it says, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments that include in health laws, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptian, for I am the Lord that what healeth thee. Now, it's maybe easy to just stand here and just say these things, but understand, and at least in my family, I am prone to having diabetes, prostate cancer, colon cancer, even all sorts of cardiovascular problems. My grandparents all had all these different things in their lives. It was either one or the other that ended up killing them, either through heart disease or through cancer that ended up getting them. Alzheimer's, I'll show later, does have some connection as well with what you're eating. But there's a change. You know, if people kept healthy from generation to generation, even those later on who may eat terrible or live their life very contrary to the health laws, they can still live a long life because the generations before them were eating healthy. So if the generations before me were eating unhealthy, but if I start making the changes now, I can turn the tide the other direction. So the next generation after me can eat healthier and they will live longer, and so on and so forth. My dad was diagnosed with prostate cancer back in 2015, and the good thing was detected early. That's why it's good once you reach a certain age to get checked up frequently. But he didn't just, oh, I have it and that's it, it's the end, beginning of my end. He immediately took action. That same night, he ended up, at least for about a year, he became plant-based. And he ate a lot of dark-colored fruits to give him all the nutrients he needed to be able to strengthen the immune system to combat the cancer, as well as a particular drink that a naturopathic doctor gave him to just help just cleanse him from any cancerous cells that he may have. And when the doctor went to give him another test after, I think, about 3 months, he didn't see it growing. He said, okay, we're going to wait and see what happens. In a couple of more months, he went back again. The doctor couldn't find it. He waited another few extra more months. And he said, well, I can't technically say you're cured, but you don't have anything. So there was this tremendous reversal. During the time where he was first diagnosed, there were a lot of brothers and sisters from church who would call and say, you know, brother, we're praying for you. I hope everything's okay. My dad found out that many other brothers had the same issue. And immediately, instead of turning it where they're there to show support and we're here for you, brother, my dad turned it an opportunity to preach to them and tell them, well, you need to make changes in your life. You need to change your diet. You need to change your lifestyle so that you can have a better chance to overcome these diseases. And I just happened to kind of hear him, and my dad was telling me later that a lot of them would just quickly change the subject and end the conversation to hang up because they didn't want to change their lifestyle. But it's something that God has there for us so that we can embrace this particular health plan that God has there for us so that we can take not this idea to brag and, oh, I can eat this or that, but so that we can enjoy the life that God has given us to the fullest. It's very difficult to enjoy when you have to take so many pills, when you have to, all these doctor's visits, when you have all these limitations because of the health that we have, because of the decisions that we have made in our lives. But like I mentioned, God wants us to take things a step further, and he did give us sort of an ideal health plan. And back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, he says, God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. So a lot of times when we say meat, we need to clarify sometimes, especially in scripture, but here he's given us as meat for us to eat was the fruits of the trees. We also had access to the tree of life, which sort of gave us even more nutrients that we needed. Because we lost access to the tree of life, God then provided other food for us to eat. In Genesis 3:18, he says, after the curse that was going to come because of the sin, it says, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. So fruits and vegetables God had provided for us to get all the nutrients that we need to be able to be in an optimal health capable. So with this diet, our health can be at its optimum. But why make such a big deal about health in God's children? Well, there's a reason for that, and that's what I'm going to get to. There's this connection, I call it the link, which is called the brain-gut connection. The idea that what is in your stomach affects your mind, and vice versa. What's in your mind affects what's in your brain, what's in your stomach or your gut. Harvard Health Publishing, they also mentioned this article about the gut-brain connection. It says, pay attention to your gut-brain connection. It may contribute to your anxiety and digestive problems. They're doing some research. It's still early on, but they're saying that depression as well as some of the others, Alzheimer's, and I forgot what the other one was, Parkinson's, they say they may have a connection there as well based on the type of diet that we may have. But it's still, when I say that it's still early on in terms of research, is because just because someone came up with that research, they still need others to sort of go over the test to see if it's valid or not. But that's sort of what they're coming up with. But they're saying that there is a connection between what we eat and our the effect that it has on our minds. Like mentioned here on the right, it does affect our stress, anxiety, our mood, as well as our behavior. I don't know if you have had an experience when at night that you have not slept well, or for whatever reason may be, when you wake up, you want to eat. You're hungry because your body needs energy. If we don't have a strict diet, we end up eating things we shouldn't be eating, especially sweets, lots of sweets and sugary drinks, because our body needs that energy, because you weren't able to have a good, proper rest. And having that is just this trend in our lives that ends up getting worse and worse if we don't correct it as soon as possible. But with all these things that God was telling Israel, yes, this clean and unclean animals, what they can eat, which is the clean animals, we gotta understand that God is bringing a group of people that for hundreds of years, they weren't able to worship God. For hundreds of years, they've been only exposed to the Egyptians, and they lost a lot of knowledge and the practice that God had taught their great-great-grandparents. And so God had to teach them the basics and build up their understanding until they were ready to reach the full understanding of who God is. But he tells them in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 24, it says, "Defile not yourself in any of these things, for in all these the nation are defiled which I cast out before you." In other words, don't do what the other nations are doing. I know for us, and if you look at sort of a little, somewhere half within our history in our denomination, there was sort of a switch. All of a sudden, you start seeing what our culture is doing around us. We see that same thing happening within our church. They start embracing certain things, we start embracing those same things. They start making changes, we start making changes. Very similar within the pattern. And I'm grateful that there's been many great voices speaking up and warning us of the danger of that. But we should put it into question, am I doing this because everyone else is doing it and is a trend, or is it because God is asking me to do this? Right now, there's a big trend of eating healthy. There are more and more fast food restaurants embracing this idea of plant-based. They're having even restaurants that for their entire existence hated the idea of any vegetables in their food. Now they are having a plant-based meat as an option for anyone that wants to eat that. You know, because for them, it's business. People are changing to that. They want to tap into that because they want to make money out of it. But the world, a lot of times, they're doing it because it's a trend. But are we doing it because it's God's way, or if it's because everyone else is doing that? So what's the point? In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So for us to not be conformed to the world, but be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of our mind, we need to make sure our mind is clear, that our mind can be focused on the things of God and has an impact on what we eat and have in our gut, you can say. And so it is important and understand that there is this relationship between our health, especially our spiritual life. Yes, there is mercy. God wants us to know who He is and understand who He is despite our bad habits, despite our poor health, because God wants us to know who He is. But this idea that it doesn't matter, in our day and age, it does. We're not living in a time where we eat whatever we can find. We are in a time where we can have access to good food. Even in places that seem quite remote, they seem to find ways to get even healthy food. But if you're in a very remote area where you can only eat so much, you know, we do have the principle that is there. But for us here in the United States, there's no excuse. You can go in any supermarket, you can have a huge area that's designated for all sorts of fruits and vegetables. So what does the Bible say about the heart? And I'm not focusing about the negative part, but the positive part, right? In Psalms 24:4, it says, "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." 1 Timothy 1:5, "Now the end of the commandment is charity," which is love, "out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of a faith unfeigned." So for us to be able to love God and love our brothers and sisters and love our neighbors, we need to have that pure heart. In 2 Timothy 2:22, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Which also brings to mind the idea of, you know, flee youthful lust. The idea of lust, or this animal instinct that some people have. A lot of times they're doing some research, and some are showing that even what you're eating has an impact in your mood, which also had this attitude if what you're eating can give you that kind of animal instinct. And a lot of times that can be changed even by what you're eating. Kids, I remember growing up, I was a very hyper kid, and I'm glad I didn't live, I lived in a time where I did growing up, because if not, my parents would have taken me to the doctor and then they'll be diagnosed with ADHD, taking all sorts of medicine. But what my mom ended up doing was having me outside a lot of times, burn all that energy, playing whatever I could, and watch the type of drinks I consume. Because I enjoy drinking soda and a lot of sugary drinks and candy. And she always, after a certain point, when she realized how hyper I was, she kept the watch on those things. And it did have an impact on that. And the other was, we did a lot of praying and asking God to help me to keep calm and relaxed. But again, it has an impact. I know I'm focusing a lot on the eating. There's more to it. We have that acronym called New Start. You know, we need time in the sun. We need fresh air. We need proper water. The rule of thumb is half your weight in ounces to drink throughout the day. There's a lot more involved in it, proper rest, time with the Lord. But today I'm just focusing on the actual eating. Proverbs 29 says, "Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin." I put it up there because is it us who's supposed to purify our hearts? No. In Hebrews 10:22, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." In another translation, it says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." In 1 Peter 1:22 is saying, "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." So it's telling us that for us to have our souls purified is by obeying the truth. But how are we able to do that? It says doing that through the Spirit. So I can even obey God's word without the Holy Spirit, let alone be able to be purified. How can my heart be purified? By obeying God's word. How can I obey God's word? By the Holy Spirit. So how can I have the Holy Spirit? By asking God, "Lord, I need the Holy Spirit to be able to obey your word so I can have a pure heart and a pure mind." There is this connection between heart and mind. In the scripture, they mean the same thing. It tells us in Hebrews 8:10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." So in the first verse, it says, "I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts." In Hebrews 10:16 is the other way. It says, "I will put my laws in their hearts and write them in their mind." It's the same. The only difference is that the heart is the central part of the mind where we make our decisions. We can discern what's right and wrong, where our character is developed, where God can speak to us. That's really more the heart of that mind. but they both mean the same thing. So in allowing, it says, we must have a clear mind for God to work best in us to transform us and through us to reach to other people. And follow his health laws will help us to understand and be more willing to submit to God as he may transform our character. A lot of times we have a hard time, we have already convinced many things, and we have no problem sharing that to other people. When others, our brethren, share other things, we haven't yet been convinced, oh, we bring our claws and ready to defend ourselves. But God needs us to think about those things, test it. Is my brother or my sister telling me just their opinion, or is it truly telling me something of God that I need to study and embrace myself? I put this little phrase where it says, clear gut, clear mind, or clutter gut, clutter mind, and vice versa. And going back to our scripture reading this morning, in 3 John 1:2, it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as thy soul prospereth. Says John speaks about our character growing and becoming more like Christ, but he mentions it to grow as our lives develops in good health. There is a connection, our health with our spiritual life. And it's amazing with those that if you see who first are hear God's message and are amazingly impacted, one of the things you end up seeing, that you end up noticing their change in their lives, is how they are in terms of their health. A lot of times they get away from the type of bad habits they've had in terms of what they eat or the type of things that they did, the consumption that they had, they end up changing that. No one told them, but there's something about that transformation, that conversion that they had that changes their way of thinking in terms of what they consume. Jesus said in John 10:10, it says, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. But it's hard to have an abundant life when we have a poor health. I do understand that there are certain things we might have done because of work or playing as we were little that might prevent us from doing certain things when we're older. But what we can do, what we're able to accomplish, we should be able to do it. God wants us to enjoy our lives. Wants us to enjoy the blessings that he had given us. Wants us to enjoy, even in persecution, he wants us to even enjoy that, but for that, we need to have a good health as well. I know it's hard to enjoy persecution, but if we even hear the stories of Paul and others, even when they were heavily persecuted, when they were in prison, the dungeon, it's not like our prisons nowadays, that it's so nice, you don't even have dirt on the ground, no rats coming around you trying to pick on your wounds. The dungeons that they had were cold, they were humid, they were dust, dirt on the ground, they were dark. What were they doing? Singing. Were they concerned, oh, I'm so hungry, I'm starving, I want to have this big steak. No, they were singing, they were praising the Lord. They weren't even thinking about food. The least of their worries. And a lot of times when we hear the story of Paul and the things that they did, the least they were thinking about was food. He was focusing on the word of God and sharing it with others around him. Yes, when they got together, they broke bread. But it wasn't the primary thing. God's word was the primary thing. But how can we be in good health if we neglect the very principles and laws that God has given us? Laws to guide our lives, to bring us closer to God. And as we are growing, emphasize on the growing part, God will prepare us and seal us as his people to be ready to be with him forever. It's a growing aspect. It's a growing factor. It's not something that may change in an instant. It might be for some. Like I said, it did for my dad. I know it only lasted for about a year in terms of being plant-based, but he just went back to just vegetarianism. But from that moment on, when he was diagnosed, he was still eating meat up to that point. It wasn't as often as he used to. He was doing it maybe once, twice a week. But from then on, he just decided no more meat. For a year, he did plant-based, and then he kind of went back to eating cheese and eggs. But he, from then on, stopped eating meat. It's been 4 or 5 years now. He has improved even more in his health since then, but he's no longer gone to that. Sometimes we kind of think, you know, how much longer would his parents will have lived if they made those changes in their lives. But regardless, we have the hope that we will see them again. And we'll see them in their glorious body. Oh, that'll be interesting. I won't be able to recognize them by looking. I'll have to ask them to talk to me first. All right, in Revelation chapter 7, verse 2 to 3, I'll read it. It says, "And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea." Now, for those who don't understand, this is sort of towards the end of earth history. In reality, it's during our time as we're facing. There are four angels who are ready to let go of the winds of strife. In other words, these wars and calamities to come upon the earth. They're ready to allow that to happen. But there's an angel that comes down from earth. It says in verse 3, it says, "Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." In other words, wait, hold on just a little bit longer until we're done doing our job. Their job is to seal these people, God's people, letting them know they are mine, they're not of the devil. But it takes a process for us to get to that point, that God can help us to it. And for us to be able to have that clarity in mind that God can use, our health needs to improve as well. But God is telling us there that He only has given us a short time. A short time to prepare our hearts for Him, to prepare our hearts for heaven. But are we taking the time to prepare or using the time to indulge ourselves with the meat of this world? You know, a lot of times we have the intellect of God's Word, but our practice is lacking. We can immediately have an argument with someone and win that argument, win that debate. We know exactly where we can find things in the Scripture. But our lives is neglecting that reflection of what the Bible says. But are we taking the time to asking God to help me to change that? That what God says, it's in my life? Because there comes a time where we can't tell someone where it is in the Scripture. I can't bring up the Bible and share with them. I might be tied up. I might be beaten down. I may be at a corner, strangled. Do I have a time to hold on a second? Let me take out my Bible. Let me take out my Bible app and share with them. No, but my life should be a reflection to them. And at work, many a times, I don't have a chance to share with them with the Bible. A lot of times, they don't care less about what God has to say. But they see my life is different than theirs. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I do have my flaws, and I'm learning to improve. But what, in comparison to the lives that they're going through, the decision and the direction they're going, it's very different, my life, to theirs. That for some reason, they're curious. If I'm eating and they somehow come into the break room, they go straight to where I am to see what I'm eating. What have you brought today, Saeed? They're curious of the color. They're curious of the smell because it smells good. It looks attractive. And they're amazed that it doesn't contain any meat at all. But for some reason, it's being drawn. And so a lot of times, we can't share with them directly the Scripture, but a life should be the Scripture in its video form, if you want to put it that way. Jesus was, in a sense, the Word made flesh. And using His life as an example for us is putting God's Word to life. Well, the world needs to see that in your life, in my life as well. So, let's continue to grow. Not only in our understanding of God's Word, but in practicing what His Word says in our lives. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and your soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the wonderful Word that you have given us. That we can meditate, that we can study, and we can use as our guide in our lives. There are many things that we can learn in this world, but there's also many dangers. And in the times we're living in, there's a lot of deceptions out there, a lot of lies. A lot of times it's because of greed, it's to make money. But guide us, Lord, that we have your Word to help us to navigate through this life. Lead us, Lord, and I know it's a challenge at times because a lot of it has to do with habit and culture that we have embraced when it comes to our diet. But help us, Lord, and guide us as you have helped us to understand who you are and be converted to believing in worshiping you. Help us that we know that you can help on this, help us in these things and improve our health so that we can not only reach to others, but be an example of others of who you are, that our life may be a sermon in itself, that others may be drawn and see who Jesus is through our conduct, our behavior, even our failures, because they're able to see that we are humans and make mistakes, but it's how we react and what we do with those mistakes, and that we ask for apology, that we ask for forgiveness, that we pray and ask you for helping us to transform our lives, learn from those lessons. People can see that and notice that and impact their lives in amazing ways. And help us and guide us that when the moment comes, that we'll be able to share with them about your word and be able to be enlightened about you. Guide us, Lord, to enjoy the rest of this day and our physical meal we'll have soon, and as well as our fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.